Thank you for visiting the Vine Street Baptist Church podcast. Vine Street Baptist Church seeks to love God, serve people, and make disciples. You're invited to join our Sunday morning worship service each week, which starts at 10:45 a.m. We sing, fellowship, and sit under God's preached word. If you need to speak to one of the church pastors or leadership, please email info@vinestreetbaptist.org or call 502-585-3027. For directions to the church or for more information, visit our website, vinestreetbaptist.org.
Let's pray, brothers and sisters. Father, we ask that you would come and be with us, not because it's just a nice thing to do before sermons, but because we need you. We particularly need your Holy Spirit to come and fill us and to help us understand your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And I just realized that I don't have my thing on. Do I need that if I stand behind this? All right. All right. So, brothers and sisters, it is the last Sunday before the new year, before 2019. Amen. And on everyone's mind is what are you going to resolve to do? What are going to be your resolutions for 2019? Is it going to be eat more, eat less, watch more, watch less? What's it going to be for you? Let me ask you another question. If you had to guess, what would you say is the most common Christian New Year resolution? That's right. Read your Bible more. Amen. Now, what verses come to your mind when you think, I need to read my Bible? Think about that for a minute. Now, as you think about what verses come to mind, which way are you going to do it? How are you going to attack it? Are you going to do the chronological plan? Or are you going to do the start in Genesis and go all the way through Revelation, which is not for the weak at heart? Are you going to do the Bible that's divided up in 365 days so you can get up in the morning and just read day one, then day two, then day three? Or are you like me and you've tried all of these enough times to know that you need at least 3 years to read the Bible? Now, let's come back to our question. Does the Bible itself command us to read it? Did you know there's only two verses in the Bible that come close to commanding us to read it? I'm sure your thought process when I asked the question went something like this if you thought about it. Well, of course the Bible commands us to read it. Think about Psalm 1. Meditate on the Word of God day and night. Oh, hold on. That doesn't say read. That says meditate. Let me read you the only two verses in the New Testament that come close to commanding us to read the Bible. 1 Timothy 4:13. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. But you have to remember who this is written to. It's written to young Pastor Timothy, and what Paul is telling Timothy is to give attention to the public reading of Scripture. The other verse comes from Revelation that says, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and keep what is written in it, for the time is near. And again, we have one reader reading to the congregation. And brothers and sisters, those are the only two verses in the New Testament that come close to telling us to read the Bible. So how does the Bible expect that we would interact with it? I want to argue this morning and convince you this morning that meditating on the Word of God is the primary way the Bible intends for you to interact with it in 2019. Let me give you a couple of verses. In Genesis 24:63. So the first book of the Bible, Moses tells us that Isaac went out to meditate in the field at evening. In Deuteronomy 6:6, we're told by Moses to not, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. In other words, you should meditate on them. That's what it means to meditate, to keep those words on your heart, to think about them. In Joshua 1:8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. See, the psalmist didn't make meditation up. He got it from Moses and Joshua. And we could go on. Psalm 119:48, my eyes stay open through the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promises. But let's jump to the New Testament. In John 15, you all know the verses where Jesus says that he is the vine and we're the branches. And in order to stay vital, in order to bear fruit and not wither, we have to abide in him. And if we were to ask Jesus, well, let's get practical. What does it mean to abide in you? He would point us to verse 7 in John 15, which says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, in other words, if you meditate on my words, that's what it means to abide in Jesus. So again, in our time together this morning, I want to persuade you that in 2019, you should not only read the Bible, but meditate on it. And here's the reason, and it's a long one. Meditating on the Word of God fills you with the Spirit of God, who empowers you to obey God in all of life and equips you to fight the spiritual battles that take place daily. Let me say that again. Meditating on the Word of God fills you with the Spirit of God and enables you to obey the commands of God and fight the spiritual battles that take place daily. So first, meditation on the Word fills you with the Spirit. Look at Ephesians 5, 18 through 21. What we have there is a command and then the result of the command. Let's look at that. We're going to start in the middle of verse 18. But be filled with the Spirit, so a command, and here's the result. Addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody to the Lord in your heart, and giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus, submitting to one another in reverence for Christ. And then Paul goes on in the rest of that chapter and in chapter 6 to give us specific examples of what it looks like to submit to one another in all areas of life. Now, and that what that shows us is that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit for our daily life, for all those headings in your Bible, for your relationship with your wife and husband, for children and parents, for slaves and masters, which we're going to apply to workers and bosses. So the question becomes, what does it mean then to be filled with the Spirit? If being filled with the Spirit results in a joyful person, a person who is singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and giving thanks to the Lord, and not only in the Sunday service, but in all of life, in parenting and work. Come on. We know intuitively we need the Spirit if we're going to give thanks and sing in the midst of parenting and work. So how do we answer that question? Well, I have twin sisters, and they sound so much alike that sometimes when I call Hannah and she answers the phone, I do a double take on the phone and look just to make sure I know who I called. And then even after doing a double take, I get back on the phone and I go, Hannah? To which she snarkily responds, who did you call? Because they sound so much alike, and they not only sound alike, they think alike. And that is the same relationship that we see, this twin relationship between Ephesians and Colossians. Let me show you this. I'm going to give you two verses, and I want you to tell me which one's from Ephesians and which one's from Colossians. And if you're really good, you can do it before I read the second one. All right, here we go. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Colossians or Ephesians? There's nobody real brave. Come on, Darian. Okay, Colossians. He says Colossians. All right, here's the next one. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. And that's not the same verse I just read. That's a different verse. So the first one was from Colossians, and the second one was from Ephesians. Good job, Darian. All right, here we go. One more time. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of your time. That's the first one. Here's the second. Look carefully, then, how you walk. Not as wise, but as unwise, making the best use of your time because the days are evil. That's right. So the point here is that they're very similar. And if we have a question about one, just like my sisters, if I have a question about Haley, who better to ask than Hannah? So if we were to ask Colossians, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? We would turn to Colossians 3:16. Go ahead and do that. These verses are what you call parallel. So what we're looking for is the place in the verses that are different. In Ephesians, it says this, be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart, giving thanks always for everything. And in Colossians, it says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. So if we were to ask Colossians, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Here's Colossians' response. It means to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And here's the payoff. In order to be filled with the Spirit, we must meditate on the words of Christ, on the words of God. We must let the words of Christ dwell in us richly. That's exactly how we're filled with the Spirit. We don't have to imagine or conjure up some way to be filled with the Spirit. No, the Bible directly tells us we're filled with the Spirit by letting the words of Christ dwell in us richly. Now, we're a people that are submerged by the Word of God. We have it, it's all around us. We have it painted on our walls. We have it on our bathroom mirrors. We might have it on the steering wheel in our car, which is dangerous. We might have it on the walls of our children's rooms. We look at it in the morning. It's all around us. But there's a difference between being submerged or in the Word and immersed by it. The science community recently did an experiment. They took a medium-sized whale, they put it in a submarine, and they submerged the submarine in tons of water. A day later, they brought the submarine up, took the whale out, and guess what? The whale didn't make it. Now, that would be a very sad story if it was true, but thankfully, the science community understands the difference between being submerged in water and immersed in it. And I would suggest to you that we can be submerged by the Word of God, have it all around us, but not immerse ourselves in it so that we can get the vital nutrients from it that we need for our daily lives. So that brings us to our next point. Meditation on Scripture empowers us to obey God in all of life. Notice again what's going on here. So Paul says, look, you need to be filled with the Spirit. And we've shown from Colossians that in order to be filled with the Spirit, you need to meditate on the Word of God. And the reason is so that you can give thanks and so that you can have joy and submit to one another in all of life, in your relationship with your wife, in your relationship with your husband, in your relationship with your children, at work. And there's two ditches we can fall into. You know, in order for me to convince you that you need to meditate on the Word of God in 2019, you have to be also convinced that you need the Spirit in order to do these daily things. There's two ditches we can fall into. You can either be the let's get it done people, or you can be the we can't do this people. Now, the let's get it done people have been married for quite a while. They've got their basic routines of life figured out. You know, their kids are still kids, but they generally obey, and things are going generally well. And then the we can't do this. Let's get it done people need to look down at these headings and notice what the Word of God calls us to do in these specific situations. For instance, wives, submit to your husbands. The Bible's calling you to submit to a man that is sometimes sinful and not always loving. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. The Bible's calling you to die. It's calling you to instruct your children day and night. It's calling you to have joy at work. So it's not calling you to this general, like, my life's going well in a general way kind of thing. It's calling you to these specific commands. So actually, you can't get it done. If you take the time to look at the specifics of Scripture, you will immediately know that you need to be filled with the Spirit. Now, the we can't do this people, they're really intimately aware that they can't do it because they've been looking at the specifics of Scripture, and they feel quite spiritual for doing so. But they've only looked at the commands. They haven't taken what Scripture says about how we can complete these commands by being filled with the Spirit, which will enable us to give thanks in all things and to submit to one another. So let's look at the specifics of what it looks like to submit to one another in all these areas of life. Now, what better way would there be to display Christ's relationship with his church than to meditate on his words? That's how we should do that. If you want a marriage that looks like Christ and his church, wives, if you want to be able to submit to a man who's sometimes sinful and not always loving, You have to look to the one who perfectly submitted to the Father throughout his whole life. And in doing so, you see the example, and by meditating on those words, you're filled with the Spirit and enabled to be like Christ. Husbands, what better way to play your role in the gospel drama than to meditate on the four gospels and see how Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, and therefore be filled with the Spirit and enabled to love your wife like Christ loved the church. Brothers and sisters, the Bible gives us great hope in 2019 that we can put the gospel on display in our marriages through meditating on the words of Christ and being filled with the Spirit. Now, as part of the sermons for children, and I was going to step out there and do my little thing, but I can't move, so I'm going to stay right here. Children, what does it mean to obey your parents? All the little kids in the back, I'm talking to you. What's your name? Look at me. Yeah, I'm talking to you. What does it mean to obey your parents? Let's think about that. What does it mean? It means to do whatever they tell you to do, when they tell you to do it, and to do it happily. Now, how many times have you done that this week? How many times have you done exactly what your mom and dad told you to do, when they told you to do it, and did it happily? Yeah, the good news is, and this part you've heard, the good news is that Christ died for those sins. Because when you don't do what your parents tell you to do, when they tell you to do it, and do it happily, that's not only sin against your parents, it's sin against God. But here's the thing. Not only did Christ die for those sins and that you can receive that forgiveness through repenting of your sins and trusting in him, but he also will give you his Spirit and make you able to obey. Now, if you have done that, if you have trusted in Christ, guess what? The Bible and meditation and being filled with the Holy Spirit is not only for adults. It's for kids. The meditation is just simply a big word that means to think about verses in the Bible as you go throughout the day. You can do that. You can think about it. You can think about the Bible. If you're able to read, you can think about the words of Scripture. And I'm going to give you some practical ways to do that, some simple ways to do that at the end of the sermon. Now, parents, Paul speaks to us. Flip back to Deuteronomy 6 for just a second and look at verses 4 to 7. Paul tells us to raise our children in the instruction and discipline of the Lord. And if you've been a parent for very long, you know that parenting is basically can be characterized like this. It's a constant conversation with your children. When I'm home, my parenting consists of a constant conversation with Eliana. So, for instance, on Saturday, wake up, talk to Eliana. Sit at breakfast, talk to Eliana. Go out with Eliana, take her to the park, have conversation in the car, conversation in the swing, conversation back home. Conversation at lunch, conversation at dinner, and bedtime conversation. And the Bible knows that parenting is going to be a constant conversation. Now, we already quoted Deuteronomy 4, verse 6. Remember when we were giving our argument for why we should meditate? Look at that verse. And these words shall command you, or these words I command you today shall be on your heart. So you shall meditate on them. The question is why? Why is Moses telling them to meditate? So let's look at the context, starting in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. Now, it's not only the word, that specific sentence, love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. It's the whole book of Deuteronomy. And for us, the New Testament as well. Now, why should we do that? So that you shall teach them diligently, that is your children, to your children, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. This is the Bible's way of saying all the time. And the only way to do this, the only way to have the continual God-centered conversation with our children that the Bible intends us to have is by fresh daily meditation on the Word of God. Because, brothers and sisters, what comes out of our mouth is what is in our minds and in our hearts. It's what we're thinking about. And if you're like me, you fall into the same old ruts of saying the same old things to your kids all the time, because you're talking to them all the time. But if we don't want to fall into those same old ruts, and not only do I fall into ruts, sometimes I want to talk to Eliana about God, but I don't know what to say. But if I'm freshly meditating on the Word of God daily, I won't fall into those ruts. I'll have something fresh to say to her, and I'll be filled with the Spirit that will enable me to have an impossible, what would be impossible, constant conversation with Eliana. And you will be able to do the same with your children. So brothers and sisters, as we have this constant God-centered conversation with our children, let us pray that the Spirit would take this kindling and set it ablaze in their hearts so that they might live God-centered and glorifying lives. All right, so that brings us to parenting. We looked at marriage, our parenting, and that brings us to work. So how are we to do these things that Paul says at work? How are we going to address one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs and make melody to the Lord in our hearts at work and give thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? What is your Monday meditation like? Because remember, the issue is not whether you're going to meditate. It's simply, what are you meditating on? Because we're thinking all the time. There's always something in your mind. There's something in your mind right now. So what's your Monday morning meditation like? Here's how you know. What's the first thing you say to the first person you see as you walk into your building? What's your elevator conversation like? Does it go, it's Monday, how was the weekend? Not long enough. Or are you ready with something from the Bible to say? I'm not talking about quoting a verse to the person on the elevator. That's not what I mean. I mean, if you meditate on Scripture and you're filled with the Spirit, you'll be thankful on Monday that the Lord gave you a job that will provide for you. And brothers and sisters, I know that what I'm calling us to is impossible apart from the Spirit. How are we going to be faithful for years to jobs that we don't necessarily prefer? Most of the people in this room are doing jobs that they don't necessarily prefer. You know, when I was in high school and people asked me, what do you want to be when you grow up? Do you think I said, I want to work in a call center where I commonly get chewed out for things that are totally out of my control and it's clocked about how long it takes me to go to the bathroom and I either get penalized or rewarded for that? Does that sound like a dream job? No. And on top of that, listen to what Paul is calling us to at work. He says, to obey our masters or our bosses with fear and trembling, with sincerity of heart, as we would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service to God, rendering service with a good will as the Lord, and not to, as to the Lord, not to man, knowing that whatever good you do, you will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. Now, I can tell you what, if you live that way at work, not perfectly, but in enough of a routine way that you're known as that kind of person, you will get asked to give a reason for the hope that is in you. And here's the thing, if you're meditating on the Word of God day in and day out, you'll have something to say. If you meditate on the Word of God, you'll be empowered by the Spirit to live this way. And as you do, when you're asked, why are you this way? You will have something to say. Now, which brings us to the next point. Now, this would all be hard enough if we were our only opposition in all this. But we're not. Look down in Ephesians 6. So now Paul goes into the spiritual warfare passage, which we're all familiar with, the armor of God. Now, let's recap what he's doing. So what he's just done is, he said, be filled with the Spirit. He's commanding that on a daily basis. And he's saying, if you do that, you'll have a song in your heart, you'll have joy, and you'll give thanks to God for all things, and you'll be able to submit, basically to live out your role in obeying God in all these areas of life. And then he walks through all the areas of life. And then he puts Ephesians 6, the spiritual warfare passage, after that. And what he's trying to say to us, brothers and sisters, is that spiritual warfare just doesn't happen on Sundays in the sanctuary. It happens in all of life, every single day, in our marriages, in our parenting, in our work. That's where the enemy attacks us. Now, I don't know how to parse out. I don't know how to separate out, like, what the enemy is responsible for and what God's sovereignty does. But I do know that if you live in this world, and you do, that it is fallen, and that you have in 2018 experienced trials day in and day out. And whatever you're meditating on, when you experience a trial, that's what comes out of your mouth. That's what atmosphere you give off, whatever your meditation is. Because when we think about our hopes, our dreams, our expectations, all those things are formed and made by our meditations. That's what forms your hopes and your expectations for the day, and how you respond to trial and suffering is what you're thinking about. So if we can meditate on the Word of God, and we can, I'm going to make it really simple. It is simple. And be filled with the Spirit. As we go throughout our days, what will come out of our mouth when we experience the trials of 2019 is God-glorifying things. Now look at Ephesians 6 with me just briefly. Let me remind you who we're up against. Look at verses 11 and 12. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Now, it's so easy to forget that the everyday things of life is where spiritual warfare takes place, because we can't see it. We can't see it. What we can see is our kids disobeying, and our thing we had planned for our family not going the way that we planned. And the question is, how will we respond to those things in 2019? Now, as we come to the end of our sermon here, and I've totally messed up my notes here. All right, here we go. As we come to the end, and we ask the question, so then how do we do it? How do we do it? If meditating on the Word really fills us with the Spirit, enables us to give thanks and experience all of life with joy in parenting and work, in our marriages, even in the midst of trial, then how do we do it? First, we pray that the Lord would help us to delight in His Word. That's the reason this man in Psalm 1 meditated. Think about Psalm 1 again. It says, because he delighted in the Word of the Lord, that he meditated on the Word day and night. Now, my sister-in-law made two cheesecakes for Thanksgiving. We ate one of them immediately, and we froze the other one. And when my wife unfroze that one, thawed it out, I didn't have to try to think about cheesecake at work. I was at work thinking about cheesecake with no effort. You know why? Because I delight in cheesecake. So it takes no effort. So we need to ask the Lord to help us. First, we need to be honest and repent that we really don't delight in the Word, because what we delight in, we think about. We know that intuitively. And then we need to ask the Lord to help us to delight in His Word. And secondly, you want to keep your plan for meditation simple. All you need to do is, when you read the Bible and you come across a verse that sticks out, write it down and put it in your pocket. And when you do, think about it for a few minutes. Let me demonstrate. So I've been thinking about 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. And it goes like this. "For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." Now, let's think about it. Let's meditate on it just for a minute. This is what meditation looks like for me. I just repeat the verse a few times like this. "For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Then I usually turn that into prayer. And what becomes clear in just a few minutes is that it's the afflictions that are preparing the weight of glory. And Paul's not minimizing our afflictions. He calls them light and momentary. but only because he's comparing them to the eternal weight of glory. And our afflictions, all of a sudden, do become light and momentary when we meditate on this eternal weight of glory. Now, that doesn't literally make the pain in your body or the frustration with the children or a hard marriage intrinsically better. It actually doesn't change the circumstances, but what it does is it changes your perspective, which is everything. So, and after you do that, you just put that in your pocket, and every time you get a chance at work or in the middle of the day, you just take 20 seconds, 15 seconds, and you look at it, and you remind yourself of it, so that when you meet a trial in the day, what immediately comes out, what shapes that trial is, you know what, this is light and momentary, because you know what's coming? An eternal weight of glory. Now, if you don't have paper and pens anymore, I have a solution for you. If you're more oriented toward electronics and paper is a thing of the past, you need to download on your phone the Fighterverse app. And what you can do is, what I've done, you can make it your lock screen. You can also make it your background screen. So what happens is, if you have a place on your phone with not too many apps, I can see the whole verse. And so every time I take out my security blanket, my phone, I can look at that verse. So every time you take your phone out, look at the verse. And if it's a paper in your pocket, discipline yourself to every time you look at the time on your watch or every time you look at your phone, look at that verse and let the Word of God shape your reality. Now, lastly, there's a really good book called Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. And in that book, Donald Whitney, the author, has a chapter on meditation. Now, you don't have to read the whole book. I can print you all the practical ways to meditate, which I tried to do, but the printer wouldn't work in the office. But you can Google that. All you have to do is Google Donald Whitney methods for meditation, and it gives you not 10 pages, one front of a page, and ideas on how to meditate on the Word of God. So brothers and sisters, let's go meditate on the Word of God so that we can be filled with the Spirit, give thanks in all areas of our life, and be prepared for the trials that may and probably will come in 2019. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the practicality of your Word. Thank you that your Word is not ethereal, but you tell us how to be filled with the Spirit so we can give thanks in all things, in all areas of our life, and prepare us for trials, Lord. We thank you that you're a God who is our present help in time of need. And we ask, Lord, I ask that you would make Vine Street a people who meditates on your Word and is filled with your Spirit so that we can live to your glory in 2019. Amen.